Welcome back to The Takeaway. It's Todd Zwillick with you today. So can the Internal Revenue Service function like Facebook, HUD like Amazon? Megan Smith thinks the answer is yes. Smith is the United States Chief Technology Officer and Assistant to the President at the White House Office of Science and Technology Policy. And she wants to set a new expectation. No more paper, no more stamps and floppy disks. Bureaucracy, she says, can and should not only survive, but thrive in the digital world. Over the next few weeks, we're teaming up with our partners at PRI and WGBH's Innovation Hub show to explore some of the most pressing innovation challenges that will face our next president. John Hockenberry sat down with Megan Smith recently, and for her, it's about getting everyone in America on board with new technology, not just the startup artists in Silicon Valley.
It really is the beginning of digital government. And this president, you know, President Obama welcomed us from the beginning. I'm the third person in the CTO job, but really creating the chief technology officer job in the Office of Science Technology Policy to really drive, like, our role is help the president and his team harness the power of data, innovation, and technology on behalf of the American people. Of course, the government has always been using data and technology and innovation at various points. I mean, President Washington started the Army Corps of Engineers as part of the Continental Army. So it's been amazing to work with this extraordinary group of people who serve in government and bring more of the techies in with the leadership of the president pulling us to serve in a tour of duty and really bring these capabilities on the challenges that government faces so we can better serve the American people.
This idea of digital government is fundamental and very, very different. And it's not about jobs at all. It's about changing really the way citizenship works. What does that mean?
Yeah, so the president went to South by Southwest last spring really to engage the tech innovation community and pull people for tours of duty and to also just work on these harder problems together. You know, we have the internet for the first time. Not all Americans have it, and we have a lot of policies and work like Connect Ed and Connect Home, Connect All, Broadband Opportunity Council, a lot of work to bring that all the way through, as well as spectrum work to increase speeds. But really, how do we get all of the Americans in on the kind of innovation prosperity? And how do we deliver services in the way that, you know, we see Amazon, Facebook, Google, Twitter, these extraordinary American companies? We should do that, you know, from the IRS, from HUD, from Department of Education. And a big part of that actually is using open data and open government and transparency. President's opened over 200,000 data sets. So an example would be early on, people like NOAA opened the weather data, or the U.S. Geological Survey opened up mapping data. Can we do that across all of the agencies? So with the open data sets and engagement, Census team, for example, has put together a software developer kit, a software developer kit you might get for Android or iPhone to make apps, a software developer kit for cities. And so all the different APIs or data sets that would be useful for doing transportation or education, housing, preschool, schools, diversity work, et cetera, to include everyone. Those are sets of data available for developers and other extraordinary people to get in and kind of create value on top of that and solve problems in whole new ways. One of my favorite ones in that area is around justice and the Police Data Initiative and data-driven justice to really help us solve these problems that we have to make life fairer and better for all Americans.
Now, how do you use digital technology to give people a different sense of justice? I mean, I will just say that the app that has most transformed my relationship with a government agency is the app that tells me when the buses are coming. And the, you know, MTA in New York, long an evil institution, is now just this benign helper just because I have access to this kind of information. How can you do that with justice?
Exactly. So there's so many different data sets around that can help us be better informed. So an example here in the area of sort of transparency, we saw that Dallas and Los Angeles and a bunch of other cities were actually releasing use of force data, officer violence, shooting, all kinds of data sets, and engaging with the community around what was happening and starting to solve problems in new ways. So we were able to put together the Police Data Initiative that allows lots of different jurisdictions to now collaborate with each other. And there's more than 50 jurisdictions now interacting with each other and releasing data. There's also, we noticed, just solutions within the enterprise of the local city. So similar to your bus example, police forces, together with the health services and homeless services, other services in a couple cities, have really collaborated on their internal data. They're not releasing this publicly, so it's different from the police data initiative. It's called data-driven justice. And this would be an example where we found that Miami, for example, had 7,000 prisoners and had dropped to 4,900 prisoners just by changing how they were interacting with people, where the police could take folks. Let's say somebody has mental health issues or they have substance abuse disorder. The option for the police was to take people to jail or to the emergency room. They created instead a stabilization unit in the hospital with 12 beds, and they started to take people. They trained 911, police officers, and others. And of 50,000 calls across 4 years that matched this, they only had 109 arrests, and people were able to get better. So that helped them reduce the prison population, have much better outcomes for families, for individuals, as well as a lot of cost saving.
Is this an irreversible process? In other words, what of this kind of initiative and these programs that you've talked about can be just wiped away and reversed by a different occupant of the White House who doesn't have the kinds of interest and sensibilities that President Obama has? How much of this is permanent?
You know, I think it's permanent, sort of the way that we interact with our smartphones and the way we're interacting with companies at this point. People have the expectation that government will work that way, and we're starting to see that. President Obama, of course, has welcomed us as techies into government in these tours. And, you know, if the techies could have solved this on their own, they wouldn't. It's through the collaboration, almost like a university faculty, of extraordinary economists, lawyers, you know, operators together with tech, sitting together at the policy and the implementation or capacity building table to come up with how do we use these new methods, these new digital government, data-driven, you know, collaboration, open source. We just launched the open source policy for the U.S. We're not experiencing it as a partisan thing. We've been welcomed by everyone. It's kind of practice makes permanent. In this case, as we learn how to ride this bicycle, we're getting better and better at it. So we're pretty excited about what is happening. Most of government's going to tech and government's going to be from our contractors and our incredible private sector. And so how are we upgrading how we're working together?
Megan Smith is the U.S. Chief Technology Officer based at the White House. Thank you so much, Megan.
Thanks, John.
John Hockenberry there speaking with Megan Smith, part of a collaboration with our partners at PRI and WGBH's Innovation Hub show.